Slaver Salam, Volume 5, page 266. What is the Torah wears a man out in the work? Our sages said, Rabbi Hanin said, why is the name of the Torah called Tushiya, resourcefulness? Because it wears a man out. And we have to understand that. After all, our sages said, the Torah is great, for it gives life to those who keep it. As it says, for they are life to those that find it, and health to all their flesh. And they also said, if he feels in his head, he should study Torah. Feels in his throat, should study Torah. Feels in his stomach, he should study Torah. As it says, and health to all their flesh. Therefore, it contradicts. In order to understand that, we have to first of all understand what is Torah, meaning for what purpose did the Creator give us Torah. Our sages said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. Meaning that if he did not create the evil inclination, he would not have created the Torah. As it says, I have created the Torah as a spice. Can we then say that the Torah was created for the evil inclination? The Zohar says, the mitzvot in the Torah are called kudin deposits, and indeed they're also called 613 councils, and the difference between them is that in everything there is a rear and a front, that the preparation for the thing is called the rear and the attainment of it is called the front or the face. And that way we have in Torah and mitzvot do and hear. When they observe Torah and mitzvot as fulfilling his word, before they attain to hearken on to the voice of his word, the mitzvot are called 613 councils, and they are the rear. And when they attain to hearken on to the voice of his word, they become the 613 mitzvot as deposits, from the word deposit. Because there are 613 mitzvot, and in each mitzvah, there's the light of a special degree that's deposited, which is a vis-a-vis a unique organ in the 613 tendons and organs of the soul and the body. Thus it means that the Torah and Mitzvot are considered in 2 degrees, examined in 2 degrees. A is a council, which it says 613 councils, meaning that by observing Torah and Mitzvot, they will have the strength to nullify the evil inclination. In that we can interpret what it says, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. Meaning that the Torah is a spice to the evil inclination. And that is called in the Zohar 613 councils. B, Torah for Torah, which is 613 kudin, deposits. That this Torah is the names of the Creator. And that Torah is attained after he has corrected his actions, that he can already work in order to bestow not for himself. But when we begin to walk in order to attain vessels of bestowal, and for that we said that we need the Torah as councils, called 613 councils, certainly there's work before that too, which is the first aspect, that from there we begin to enter the keeping of Torah and Mitzvot, and that is called by the name of Lolishma, not for her name, and this is the first b'china, first degree. And the second is when we want to attain Lishma, for her name. At this time we have to do everything in our power to attain Lishma, meaning to have the strength to come to doing everything in order to bestow. And then we come to the third situation, at which time we attain the Torah, called the names of the Creator, which in the Zohar it is called 613 deposits. Therefore, when we begin to observe Torah Mitzvot in the first degree, meaning Lolishma, but in order to be rewarded, as it says in the Zohar, that the beginning of the work of man's work in Torah Mitzvot is because of reward and punishment in this world, or reward and punishment in the next world. It turns out that in this situation, he still does not need the Torah Mitzvot as counsels. But as much as he believes in reward and punishment, the reward and punishment compel him to keep Torah and Mitzvot. And not, it is not because of those counsels. As it says, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. That the Torah is a counsel against the evil inclination in man. And man wants to exit its authority, meaning man wants to exit self-love and do everything for the Creator. And for that reason, he observes Torah and Mitzvot. But the will to receive for himself is what makes him keep Torah and Mitzvot. Therefore, what is the meaning of from lo lishma, one comes to lishma? We don't see a connection between man keeping Torah and Mitzvot in order to be rewarded, that will be a springboard for him to jump from lo lishma to lishma. And our sages said, because the light in it reforms, meaning the light that is in the Torah shines for man to feel that he is not considered man, but he is like any animal. As it says, you are called man, and the idol workers are not called man. And that we can interpret what we asked. What is the meaning of why is the Torah called Tushiyah, resourcefulness? Because it Mateshet, where is a man out? But they said the opposite. Health to all their flesh. Meaning that man, when he studies Lolishma, that Torah brings him a sensation that the man in him is very weak. Meaning the force of man in him has withered, has been worn out, but like all, he is like all animals. But what is the form that man sees? How the man in him is very weak. The most important that we discern between man and beast, as it is known that the beast does not have the sensation of the other, called the will to receive only for himself, and that is also called evil. Meaning the will to receive for himself is called evil, because it was restricted and concealed, that into this will to receive, no light of holiness can enter. And since the will to receive, that will to receive, is everything that disturbs, that interrupts, that we cannot receive the delight and pleasure that he wishes to give to the creatures, that's why it is called evil, or the evil inclination. But that is difficult to understand. Why, when a person observes Torah and Mitzvot with the intent, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice, why, if man has already come to a sensation that he has evil, meaning that he already felt good during the ascent, and then he received the descent, and he feels the evil in him. Why does he have many descents? Because the Torah is the spice of the evil inclination. Therefore, why can't we see that the evil inclination has lost its power, but the evil is revealed every time anew? Because we see that when we begin to take the path of reaching the situation where we do everything in order to bestow, there are many descents, meaning the evil is renewed even more firmly than before he started the work on the aim to come to a situation where everything he does will be in order to bestow. But the thing is that this is that part of the will to receive for himself, which is called evil, has already been cancelled for him. But there are other parts that he has not yet cancelled by the light of the Torah. And that can be understood by a picture. Let's say that in the will to receive, there's a will to receive 100 kilos of pleasure. But for the desire of 100 kilos, a person cannot cancel it at once. And if a person will see the size of the evil in him, he will immediately escape the campaign. So it goes gradually. Meaning, in the beginning, a person feels that he can receive of the corporal pleasures 1 kilo of pleasure. And when he receives the ascent, the force of evil is cancelled. Meaning, the 1 kilo of pleasure that he felt in corporal things, that kilo he can already overcome that specific kilo. And since he should receive strength to cancel all the 100 kilos in corporeality, but he cannot immediately overcome 100 kilos of pleasure, therefore he is given another kilo of taste in corporeality. That gives him a descent, because he had the power to overcome only for 1 kilo, and when he's given the sensation of a greater pleasure, that gives him a descent, because he surrenders under a greater pleasure. And when he overcomes, it is called an ascent. When he overcomes, which is called an ascent, he is allowed to feel 3 kilos of pleasure in corporeality until he finishes all the overcomings that he has to perform in the work of in order to bestow in the corporal pleasures. Let's say that he can overcome all the corporal desires to do them in order to bestow. Certainly, we need help from above for that each time. Otherwise, we cannot overcome even the smallest pleasure. As it says, man's desire overpowers him every day. And if it were not for the Creator's help, he could not have overcome it. But at present, man should always look for help. And if he finds in the beginning the size of the passion in the will to receive, he will immediately see that this is not for him, this work. Therefore, he's shown a little taste in corporal desires. But afterwards, when he has received the strength to overcome all the corporal desires, then a person is endowed with spiritual desires, where there are screens, which is the matter of overpowering the spiritual light. And there too, it goes by degrees, meaning we begin from a small degree, say, light of nefesh, and when he can receive that in order to bestow, he is given the light of ruach, until he attains the whole Naan Chai. As it says in Zohar, when born, he is given a soul. If he is endowed more, he is given a ruach. And this is, as our sages said, everyone who is greater than his friend, his desire is greater than him. That the matter of great means that he has already attained the ascent in spirituality, meaning that he can already overcome a certain amount of pleasure and receive it in order to bestow. And again, he is given pleasure that to that extent of pleasure he could not yet overcome. And when he is when he overcomes that pleasure and becomes great again, when he comes to a gadlut, a greatness called ascent, again he is given a higher degree, and against that he has never overpowered it, overcame it. Therefore now he sees that he is more evil, meaning against this degree he cannot overcome. And now it goes by the same order that he asks of God to be given his strength from above to be able to overcome that amount of great degree. And this is called that the lower one rises to the upper one to ask for strength for the screen. And now we can interpret what our sages said. Why is her name called Tushia, resourcefulness? Because it wears a man out, meaning that according to his greatness he receives more evil, meaning that the greater the pleasure, the harder it is to overcome it. It turns out that man is called a giver, as it is known that man is called Ma. Ma is called Zeralpin, a giver. Bon is called Malchut, receiving. Ma is male, man, giver, whereas Behema, beast, is bon, nekeva, female, receiving, is not giving. It turns out that in the greatness, which is the greater light, it is harder to overcome. It turns out that man grows weaker every time, because each time he has a greater light. And in that we can interpret what we asked. If he feels in his head, he should study Torah. And as Bala Sulam says, the meaning of feeling in his head, meaning his thoughts are not okay, feeling in his stomach, meaning everything that goes into his stomach is all for his will to receive. Study Torah, as it says, health to all their flesh. Meaning that by the Torah he is endowed with gadlut, greatness, because the light in it reforms. And he becomes great. And afterwards he attains a greater degree, over which he still did not have the strength to overcome. And he should ask of God to be given help, to be able to have the strength to overcome it. It turns out that we should speak each time of two things, two contradicting things. And we should always discern two sides in each degree. The first, that the lower one rises to gadlut, to greatness, which is called ascent in degree, that he receives a sensation to regard what is closeness with God, that he now understands that he should not worry but only about the well-being of God, and he himself does not count. Meaning, for himself he needs nothing, and he can already give up both corporeality and spirituality. Anything that concerns his own good, he gives it up. And everything he does will be only in order to bring contentment to his Maker. And that is called that the Torah gives life to all. As it says, the Torah is great, for it gives life to those who keep her, and health to all their flesh. B. Anyone who is greater than his friend, his desire is greater than him. Meaning, afterwards he receives a greater pleasure, meaning when he has still not attained the vessels of the soul, it turns out that he still clings to corporal pleasures, and he still clings to the corporal pleasures, then each time he receives a greater taste in corporal things, because he needs to overcome the will to receive for himself, that man is not shown a great taste, the size of a pleasure in corporeality, because he cannot overpower it. But there's a certain extent that each one feels in corporal pleasures. Whereas when a man begins to walk in the path of doing everything in order to bestow, and not for himself, then he is given from above a greater taste of sweetness in self-love. It turns out that when he begins to enter the greatness of the work, meaning that he wants to be among those who work in order to bestow, then he is added more taste in self-love, greater taste in self-love. And therefore he sees every time anew that he has more evil. Thus we see that even during the preparation, when a man wants to enter the work of another to bestow, although he has not yet attained it, there already begins the matter of anyone who is greater than his friend, his desire is greater than him. Meaning that when a person wants to enter the work of the great, of the mature, who work in order to bestow, he receives a sense many times as the light in it reforms, and then he is considered great. And then he is allowed to taste some more evil, so that he may ask of God to be given help. It turns out that we should discern two things here. A. That the Torah gives him life, and he becomes great. B. Afterwards he is given evil, as it says, that everyone who is greater than his friend, his desire is greater than him. It then turns out that he is in a situation that by the Torah that he becomes great, he comes to see in the truth that the man in him has withered or has been worn out, and he is like a beast, because the will to receive for himself gets stronger in him each and every time to a greater extent, to the extent of the good that he receives from Torah, which reforms. Therefore we should ask, Why is the name of the Torah called Tushiyah, resourcefulness? That by the Torah he sees that the man, that the force of man in him is weak. Only his beastly force is getting stronger. And the same goes for spirituality. Meaning after a man has been endowed with vessels of bestowal, he has a greater overcoming over his coarseness of youth. And each time he should rise to the upper one and ask for the force to overcome his will to receive, which is now in a greater extent than the force to overcome that he received before. Since now he received greater coarseness, greater of youth. Therefore, there too, meaning after he's been endowed with the vessels of bestowal, he should always go forward in order to correct his will to receive, each according to his own delay and his own degree. Thus it turns out that when man wants to enter the work of bestowal, he sees that he has a little bit of evil, meaning that man knows by himself that he has some evil. It turns out that the evil he has by his own knowledge. Therefore, man understands that he has the strength to overcome it on his own strength. Therefore, anyone who is greater than his friend, his desire is greater than him. It turns out that from above he is given the knowledge of the evil, meaning that the evil that has now been discovered, that came from above. Then man stands and thinks, where did I get this evil? Because there's a law, there's a rule that the light in the Torah reforms. And he has already felt a little bit of ascendant spirituality. Therefore, what is the reason that now I have more evil? And that evil that he has now received is considered that it came from above. Meaning that the mind cannot understand how he felt to a situation of lowness called evil. Meaning that now he has become, he has gained things in common with all corporeal things. Whereas before he entered the work of bestowal, he was already distant from them. And now he's grown closer to self-love. This is, as it says in the book, Panim Meirot, the matter of good reward for the righteous is their own attainment of those degrees, that by their good deeds, they return the light to the upper zone. And the matter of punishment of the evil is, as it says, one against the other, that to the extent that man is rejected from the attainment of the eternal light, to that very extent he is descending into the pleasures of the filthy shells, which are called the netherworld and destruction, Sheol ve'avadon, because it grows in him some kind of affinity to them, that he can tolerate them. It turns out that the evil that is shown in man is not by him by himself, but man sees as though this evil came to him above his mind. Then man sees that he has no possibility to overcome this evil that has now been added to him by having given labor and work. And what was the outcome? That he received more evil. Therefore, he asks, what will be the end? Meaning that no work and labor help here to have the ability to exit the authority of the evil, which is a matter of self-love. And the answer is that a person should know that just as the evil came to him from above, so will his exit from the evil, so can the exit from the evil come from above. And therefore a man should not be impressed with seeing that he has no way to exit the evil by himself, but he should know that just as the evil in him that was added to him every time was not by his own strength, meaning that he did not give an effort in order to attain more evil, but that came from above, which is above reason, that a person does not understand it, so should a man believe that exiting the evil, he can also receive the strength for that from above. Meaning that all things come from above reason. and therefore they are cancelled by above reason. That we can say that a person is under the authority, is in exile under the authority of his mind, of his reason. That does not come to a person by himself, but from above. And so does the redemption also come from above. Thus it turns out that when a person enters the work of bestowal, and he knows that he has some evil, meaning that he does not find a great taste in self-love, but when he wants to nullify his self-love and work in order to bestow, then he receives from above more desire for self-love, meaning that he is shown what was concealed from him, the greatness of the power and control that there is in self-love. And then man sees how he is really opposite, remote from one end to the other, that God is all bestowal and man is all reception. And when God helps him, then man feels the greatness of God, how God tends to him in order to take him out of the authority of evil. And each time he finds more evil in man, meaning that man is lower, then he sees that the Creator turns to a lower person. And we can interpret that, interpret what our sages said. Rabbi Yochanan said, anywhere you find the greatness of the Creator, you will also find his humbleness. And the meaning is, anywhere a person sees the greatness of God, then he also sees that God is humble, that he treats him individually with private providence. Therefore, the Creator becomes greater. And then man sees when the Creator becomes greater, man sees that the Creator is more humble. Rav's words. It is a great question. On the one hand, we say health to all our flesh, because force, upper force that promotes man, that heals him. We're sick, we get better. When we get better, we always feel stronger. We should come to high degrees of work, eternity, completeness, to enter the upper worlds, which against this world are really huge. This world is like a grain of sand opposite the spiritual world. So when a person is going to become a ruler of creation, the Torah, instead of giving him strength, it wears him out, makes him tired. We also see the same in Egypt, and the children of Israel side by the reason of the bondage, and we see it on ourselves. Why go to all the sources? We see on ourselves that when we begin to study, when we come to the wisdom of Kabbalah, with the question, what is the meaning of our lives? We want to find something here. Then the energy and the willingness to come to the purpose of creation, to find reason in life, and we have a strong inner urge for that. But when we begin to study, after a few months, we suddenly feel how the desire diminishes, the inner urge is gone, and I go into some kind of routine. A little bit of a dream situation. Not here, not there. He speaks about it in a song that we sing at the end of Shabbat, Ish Chasidaya, that there was a righteous man who had nothing to wear, nothing to eat. Why? Because he was studying Torah. We don't understand what's the connection between those two. Maybe he had assets and strength and everything. And now when he studied Torah, he had nothing to eat, meaning he had no strength and not even goals. And no strength to perform. We see it in every source and on ourselves. The thing is that creation is included of four aspects. Still, vegetative, animate speaking. The still vegetative and animate don't have to be corrected in and of themselves. They also go through corrections, but their corrections depend on man. Only the fourth degree, which is man, is corrected. Therefore, that aspect is the one that changes. That prina, fourth prina, prina dalet, is the one that changes. In our ordinary life, as we are told by our teachers, they say that in fact we are a beast, not a man. You are called man is a great degree already to be man. You can say that the degree of man in us begins from the point that takes us to the Creator. Adam, man, is a part of us that resembles the Creator, that can take a similar form to the Creator. And before that, when we come to study Kabbalah, there's a part in us that is called a beast, a beastly part that beasts have in a biological body, and there's a part in us that we call man. It is not a part that resembles the upper one. It is something that is above the beastliness of this world. There's culture, there's intellectual development, some kind of free choice in some things. A changing will to receive above the beastliness. And that part, let's just imagine that we are made of two parts, the lower part called beast and the upper one called man. The upper part in us is by studying Kabbalah, that we begin to study by the light that reforms, that begins to advance. We begin to see how that part of man in us is gone. We see ourselves more as beasts, working by instinct, by the simple will to receive, that we have nothing besides that. Our whole culture, education, it's as though it's gone. We see that it is pretty worthless. That comes to show us that, in fact, we're not people, that we're just beasts. And that whole upper part that we thought made us man, it's not man, it's just some kind of addition, psychological addition to the beast, to a beast that is more developed with emotions, but nothing much more. When we come to that recognition, then we come to what it says, that the Torah wears a man out, that the man in him wears us out until we have none of that man left. We don't appreciate it anymore. We see that it is worthless, that there's nothing to evaluate, to appreciate there. And then we begin to understand that man is something that we have to nurture in us. that will really be above beastliness, which is the part that resembles the Creator. And then the Torah, from the part that it wears a man out, then it really creates man. Two phases we have in this development. Therefore, the first phase, with the Torah indeed wears a man out, it is unpleasant. It is the phase of the discovery of deficits, flaws in creation, and we are the feeling part of creation. So those revelations are unpleasant to us until, along with the sensation, we agree and regret our nature and want the upper nature. And then the Torah comes to us as a remedy, as counsels how to do it, and gives us strength. To follow the counsels. So when we realize them, we are endowed with the light that's deposited, and then the part of man in us begins to actually be to resemble the Creator. Questions? What's the difference between working below the barrier and above the barrier? Below the barrier, we have to come to a resolution that everything that is, that we thought was above our beast, is really worthless. There's nothing to say about the beast. It's got, it is worthless, it is not worthless. It doesn't change its nature. Whereas the part of man in us, that part should be completely, we should completely want to concentrate on the Creator's work. Meaning every strength in us that is called man, we should want adhesion with it. And our beast, it also changes. We slowly discover that the part of the beast in us is the necessity and nothing more, that we cannot condemn nor praise. That's why the animals have no counsels on how to improve them, because it's nature that we do not that is not under any kind of free choice. And it also doesn't receive more or less than what it needs. That's what it wants. Do you see any fapping disease in a beast? Unless it is a sick beast. And a healthy beast doesn't eat more than it needs. Everything functions by nature. So to come to that degree of necessity that we don't need more than that, but all our desires, our consciousness, everything is aimed only at the goal, at adhesion. And the idea of bonding with godliness, that's our work below the barrier. And in that, except wanting that, we should come to the sensation of the wearing out. That's why it takes a long time before a person accumulates the desires for godliness along with the disappointment, the disillusion with his own strength. I remember when I came to Israel, it was Mechamet HaTashah, the war of an ongoing war. Yes, what do you want to ask? When a person is on the way, can he even use his own experience, take impressions from his own experience and use them in any kind of way? Almost none of it. The more a person progresses, he sees that each and every moment in reality, in his reality, is really, he lives with the data, we call them Roshimot, that appear in him, and he only realizes them. And to make some clarification, which Roshimot to use, or which wisdoms or attainments or consequences I can now take from the previous mind or intellect and decide by it and live with it, a person cannot do it. The more he is advanced, the more we feel that we are performing the Roshimot that surface in us. And any situation that we go through is the realization of those Roshimot, so much so that a person feels more and more that he is completely under the control of those Roshimot. But, and then he sees more and more, I'm talking about situations before the, below the barrier, and then he finds more and more that what we need is to live with those Roshimot and just try and as much as possible utilize them in the nearest possible way to godliness, closest possible way. But it's not like we can go to previous situations, take previous situations and take some strength from there or experience even, because each new degree is greater than the previous ones. So the previous experience doesn't help us. What helps us is only a general experience, a general knowledge that's added in him, that he must now, whatever comes, to be in he and his name are one. Yes, question. When man progresses on his way to toward the Creator, he feels that the part of the former part of man in him is slowly wearing out, disappearing. The man that was in him that is now disappearing is his culture, his education, experience from life, awareness, all those things vanish. He begins to feel less understanding, less knowing, less able. Some kind of child in the world. Because his confidence, he's even macho. The macho in him was an illusion. Now, in its place, he should acquire the real sensation of man, meaning the sensation of the Creator. The sensation of the Creator in me, that is called man, to resemble the Upper One. So what is your question on that? By that, a person discovers his lack of strength. It is not strength that he will need afterwards. They are strengths that he thought that made him man. Now he has shown that those things have nothing to do with the real degree of man, the spiritual man. They belong to the corporal man in this world. And we have 7 billion people that we can call each of them man, not because he's walking like a rooster on 2 legs, but because there's something in him that is above the beast. Some culture, some education, some perhaps desire for development. And by studying Kabbalah, those things immediately fall, and we begin to see in them worthlessness, not as before. That's called that the Torah wears a man out. And because of that doesn't give us strength to advance, because before we thought that advancement came in knowledge, in understanding, inner development, cultural, intellectual, psychological, something. And suddenly we see that all those things are really worthless and unreal. And then we have no strength because we thought that was man. We suddenly discover that nothing. We begin to disrespect both ourselves and others, and he calls himself and others beasts, and it's true from the point of view of Kabbalah. But when he discovers it now, instead of the beastly man in him, he should now acquire the godly man in him. He begins to feel that he is not the owner here anymore. It doesn't come by education, by studying, by acquiring some knowledge, some wisdom, habits even. That will not do. Now it depends on the Upper One. That's the other part that the Torah gives after it wears the beastly man out. It gives him the godly man. How does a person who is walking toward the barrier build for himself a permanent situation from which he cannot fall? Because we know that in spirituality there is a set situation below that a person does not fall. But in corporeality, we never heard that there is such a thing. So how can a person be certain that he will not fall completely? First of all, I'm happy to hear that you know how it works in spirituality. That's what they say. In spirituality as well, there is no guarantee in how we learn theoretically that we raise in holiness. It's also in our situation and above the barrier. But it all depends on time. The fact that now, say, someone has been negligent and did not utilize his choice to receive more strength by society, and he will slowly leave society, as happened with a few of our guys, who became so detached from society that we felt that they were not here anymore. So much so that, and they left, they were so out of it that even now we don't feel the lack. They don't feel the lack of it. So they might wake up in a few years or in a few lifetimes. So, but what they gained. It's not gone. Nothing is ever gone. In spirituality and corporeality. It's a question, what is corporeality? Therefore, holiness is raised, never decreased. Increased. And the clarifications and the advancement and corrections is always there toward the end of the purpose of creation. The question is time. How fast the actions are performed. So just as a person cannot be certain below the barrier, he is not certain of anything above the barrier as well. Do you think above the barrier a person just goes openly, just like I go and acquire something with my ego more and more and more? It's not how we go in spirituality. It's an egoistic way. But on the contrary, the dependency on the upper one is complete, absolute, above reason. It is devotion. You have to give yourself that of your guarantees, of your certainties, nothing is left. So what sensation of guarantee are you talking about? Don't think that in spirituality you feel that you can give yourself completely every moment. If you can, it is not work. Acquiring a greater degree, it is called that you are incapable, that you're climbing this, incapability. That you have to go with no ground on your feet. It is not that the work is similar, but we think that above the barrier where everything is open, we say, thank God, I'm rid of all doubts. I can see God. He's great. It's worth it to work for Him. Okay, now we can be friends with you. We're not even friends. Okay, you're the boss. Okay, I agree. Is there a doubt here? It's not how it goes. That would not give us any additional strength to bestow from the smallest degree in spirituality. The path is always above reason, above my own reason. What changes is that you work with three lines. I don't know how to say this. I'll look for words. I don't have them right now. The effort remains. It is a different kind, certainly. But it is still above anything that I can assume detached from my mind. Opposite to what I discover. The revelation of godliness in the current degree is the opposite of the upper degree. Complete opposite. Complete opposite, because the Creator that should be revealed as benevolent, you feel it. You discovered him as benevolent in your degree, but after that you discover that behind it stands some kind of terrible aim, that he wants to trick me. Say I'm your friend, I'm your best friend, and suddenly you discover that I've been fooling you your whole life, and I tricked you, and I cheated on you and deceived you. You didn't even know about it, and suddenly you begin to discover it. So who is toward me? Is this my friend? Is this everything he gave me? Is it all false? And then you see that he is, that I'm your worst enemy. And then you have to take it upon above reason that no, although everyone tells you and it is shown to you and it's a complete revelation, and you still have to go above reason, take it apart above reason that no, I'm your best friend, against everything you see in your mind. Above reason is something that is, I don't know how to say this, it's just above reason. I only have one thing in mind, one knowledge. I see the whole reality, and I have this one point in mind that I should go above it. You just have to hang off the cliff with just one hand, and the Creator tells you, let go. Can I believe that? What stops a man from attaining more desire? What stops him is that he can't bend before society. He can't bow before society. Pride. Man's pride will bring him down. If I have a desire to attain a new desire for the Creator, a greater one, than my present desire for the Creator, if it's just for the Creator, then he'll be so important, then I will go to society to buy that desire from them. So now I'm going to society consciously. There's a Creator, there's me, the creature, and I want to go to the Creator, to come close to Him. I need more desire for that. So I go to society to buy more desire from them. It's like a logical act. But you see that it's not happening with us. Why? Because here there has to be faith in the sages. You're taught that you should criticize, that you should give up your own mind and intellect. You're not given a big enough desire for the Creator that will make it worth it for you to buy yourself before society and buy their desire. The Creator is concealed. If He were revealed, then everything would be negotiable. I go to society, I give them this, I get that, and I go to the Creator. Just as I go to work, I get money for my work, and that's it. I live. There would be no problem. Everyone would do it.
But the Creator is concealed. So I need the faith in the sages here. You see, you're not going, none of you here are going to society to turn to the Creator. There's no need to do it to begin with. And if there's no need, why should I do it? I'm willing to do with society things that will make us all feel good. Why not go on picnics, holidays? Do I need anything more from society?